this is Bianca Westwood from Gillette Soccer Saturday on Sky Sports, and you are listening to the B2 Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Kendrick, and joining me this week, we've got Shane Lees.
Hello.
We've got Nick Davey.
Good evening.
And we've got Dan Tracy.
Good evening.
You guys all well?
Yeah.
Yeah, all good. Can't complain. Well, glad that football's back properly.
Good stuff. So I've got a few short stories to start us off. There's some pretty strong rumours that Brendan Rodgers will be at Swansea next season, a bit of paper talk. Their left-back, Neil Taylor, says they'd love him back at the club. Do you guys think this would be good for Swansea?
Yeah, definitely. So he did a fantastic job first time round before moving on to, what you'd like to say, better things, moving on to a bigger club in Liverpool. I think it'll be good. Obviously, their manager, their interim manager, has done a pretty good job. But I think it was always going to be just an interim role. I think it ticks all the boxes, really.
Well, I can't think who they... I mean, everyone's assuming Guidolin or Weedolin, or however you actually pronounce it, is going to be leaving at the end of the season because of health problems. He's an older fellow anyway. And I can't really think who they could get in who would be better than Rodgers. I don't think it's a match made in heaven, especially considering after a failure like he had at the last job, after the success he had at the last job, it's really kind of, it can go either way with Brendan Rodgers, but I can't think who could they get that would be better than Rodgers, because the only one I can think of would be David Moyes, and it's the same kind of gamble. Went to a big club, had a decent bit, but then it all went to crap very, very quickly. So, yeah, I can't think of who they could do better than.
I think if they were to go for David Moyes, I think he'd be the man who would suit a club like Swansea. They've had a sort of style over the years now, with sort of even going back to as far as, say, Paulo Sousa and then Roberto Martinez and Rodgers and so on and so forth. So to bring someone like Moyes in, I don't think would be a right fit. And in terms of Rodgers, it's almost interesting to sort of think, did he look at the job when it came available in, what was it, December now, and think, I don't want the risk of potentially a relegation on my CV? Does he now think, well, Swansea are going to be in the Premier League next season, now is a perfect time for him to come back and return to the Liberty Stadium? And also, is it not a case of he needs a sort of job now, otherwise he's always going to be a forgotten man? Because you almost sort of then think, well, where else would he go after Swansea, if at all? So I wouldn't say it's a perfect fit, but probably it suits Rodgers more than it suits Swansea at the moment. So if and when it does happen, I think, yeah, it's going to point that way, isn't it, that Rodgers will make a return to Swansea?
I was just going to say, you can make the same point about Brendan Rodgers, though, with the David Moyes, like, he didn't want to go there earlier in the season, because I know Rodgers turned it down before.
Well, I don't necessarily think it's like a cynical decision or anything. I was saying earlier in the season, when Tim Sherwood got sacked, I was saying I think he'll be a great manager if he can go to a club at the start of a season. Because you go in halfway through a season and you stave off relegation, it's very difficult to get the players motivated again for the next season, because suddenly you've kind of lost all the whole, I've come back into this club, I've come to rescue them, you've got that big high. At the end of the season, it kind of goes. And maybe you can get them back up for it, but then it's sort of like the Sunderland thing. It's been happening at Sunderland every single year. So I don't think it's a cynical decision. I think every manager wants to come in at the start of a season. So I think that's very understandable.
Having said that, if Guaylin wanted to stay, would you not feel sympathy for him for being just booted out? Or do you think it's...
No, he could drop at any second.
Probably not that bad.
I mean, he's done an incredible job, though, there at Swansea. I think eyebrows were certainly raised when Alan Curtis was appointed, because you sort of almost felt there was no one sort of that they could appoint, because of the reasons we've mentioned. And obviously, they've looked at Alan Curtis after a few games and thought, well, it's not quite working. So, looking at it now, it's quite an inspired decision by Hugh Jenkins, the chairman, to bring Guidolin in. But they always knew it was going to be an end-of-season deal. So, it's probably just it's ideal for all parties, really. Guidolin's done his bit. He'll get a handshake at the end. Thanks very much. And now they can sort of get Rodgers back in and look to have someone who should be there for, a few more years and get Swansea hopefully back up the table.
All right, let's move on. The US women's team attempting to sue because they're unhappy as they've been paid less than their male counterparts. Do you guys think this is the right thing for them to be doing?
No.
Nonsense.
I can understand on the whole basis of equal treatment, fair pay and all that sort of stuff, But that's we have to remember, this isn't a government job. This is open market, world of football. You get the amount of money that your sport is bringing in. I made the point before we started recording about why golfers don't make as much money as Formula One drivers, because Formula One drivers bring in more money to the sport, therefore they get paid more. It's the simple basis of how much money does the women's game bring in terms of revenue, both club football and national football. And a lot of the statistics I've seen have been based entirely upon the World Cup just gone. And it's like saying, this many people watched the World Cup final. Congratulations, a lot of people watched the Super Bowl and no one gives a shit about American football. It's not a reliable statistic at all. So I don't think it's fair, because you've got to say, how much money are they bringing in? And if they're getting paid disproportionately, then all of a sudden it's even more unfair. And if you're just going to go ahead and say it's all about making it all even, why aren't we paying the stewards more? Why aren't we paying anyone involved in football more, just because of that's how much money the game brings in? I think it's just a bit. It's too much political correctness. I don't want to be the guy who goes on about political correctness, but that is political correctness. That's all that is.
It's not like you, Shane, to be on about political correctness. I think it's a bit like the whole fuss at the moment. And I don't know if anybody's mentioned the fuss going on in tennis.
Yeah, I mentioned that.
I presume that's pretty comparable to it, in that the female audience that could go and visit is nothing in comparison. So why on earth should they get the same value, wage for it?
All right. Also, Emmanuel Eboué has been sacked by Sunderland. He's just been there for 24 minutes. And he's been sacked already. Apparently, it was over payment, mate. He owes a former agent money, so. I'm sure that's very sad for him. Very short stint at Sunderland.
It seems a funny thing to be sacked for, doesn't it? That he owes somebody money.
FIFA have suspended him, so I guess Sunderland don't really have a choice. And I guess it's good for Sunderland to be sacking their players when they've done wrong straight away, rather than messing about. And
yeah, it's a bit like somebody is a kiddie fiddler. Let them carry on playing. Somebody hadn't paid an agent from a few years ago. Get rid of them straight away.
Well, yeah, it's like if you ever want to know where the priorities are in football, it's with the money. It's just like instantly gone because he didn't pay his agent. Let's face it, most people are agreed upon the fact that agents are essentially just leeches. So, that just seems a bit harsh.
A tenuous link, but an ex-Sunderland player as well, Nicholas Bentner. He's been released by Wolfsburg today.
Has he been... I heard he's had a load of disciplinary issues all season. He slept through an alarm a few weeks ago for training, mistraining.
Yeah, he was banned from training. Has he actually left the football club as a whole?
Yep, they cancelled his contract today, this afternoon.
Straight to Barcelona.
I was going to say, no, a lot of big clubs can look at him, I think.
Well, he can't move anywhere for the end of the season, can he? So
no, maybe he's allowed to train with clubs, though, isn't he?
Yeah, but you never know, that move to the new camp could still be a possibility.
You may train with other clubs, but who genuinely would want him? He's crap.
I'd happily own
him. I reckon he could do a job for Brentford.
No, I think he'd be a good guy for someone like I don't know.
Crystal Palace.
Yeah, could probably be perfect for Palace, to be fair.
The problem with him is that his ego is too big for Palace. He wouldn't lower himself to a club like Palace.
Nicholas Bentner. Didn't he think he was the best striker in the world?
Yeah.
He claimed he was when he played for Arsenal.
They did psychometric tests at Arsenal, and he was rated the second, due to his self-confidence, he had the second highest rating ever, because his opinion of himself is so great, so...
He's quite strong.
Who was he below?
I don't know that one, unfortunately, but it just shows the measure of how...
He was below Giroud's hair.
Yeah, he's gorgeous.
Ibrahimovic's agent today has claimed that all the top teams in the Premier League, apart from Man City, have inquired about his services. So, be interesting.
Done that.
all the clubs want him, which is good for him, I suppose. He said he's also got the option of staying at PSG, and PSG are really pushing for him to stay, which I suppose you can also probably understand.
Who counts though now as the top clubs in the Premiership? Does it mean that Leicester and West Ham have been after him?
Could be. It could be. I would assume he means likes United and Chelsea and Arsenal, but you never know. You never know. If Leicester have got Vardy and Ibrahimovic up front next season, that really would be something.
Well, I was hearing about how Ibrahimovic really wants to play alongside Vardy. You can't blame him. What a man.
Yeah, that would be tremendous.
There's also the ongoing case with Gutierrez and Newcastle. The former player, he's claimed that he's been unfairly treated by the club, and they've basically effectively prevented him from getting a new contract. There's been court case all week. Alan Pardew and John Carver have been called up as witnesses and said that they didn't think it was worth him getting a contract. What do you guys make of what's been going on?
Well,
I feel sorry for the bloke. I think he's a fantastic player, and he kept Newcastle up. If he didn't score that goal, they'd be relegated.
Without trying to go into like the legalities of it, just having followed it, not intensively, but followed it quite closely, doesn't seem like Newcastle have a whole lot of evidence supporting their whole statement, other than the fact they've got corroborating witnesses, and you can get that in ways that aren't quite genuine. So I don't really know how to interpret it. It's up in the air. Obviously got to leave it up to the courts. He got harshly treated, there's no question about it. It is questionable about whether or not he deserves compensation, because I think even if he hadn't become ill, he's a player of a certain age. Newcastle were trying to bring in a player of a certain quality. It would have been fairly reasonable if they were trying to get him out of that club anyway.
Just to play devil's advocate, but very, very quickly, that goal itself by Gutierrez didn't really matter in the grand scheme of things of keeping him up, because Hull did lose the last day themselves, so it wasn't like the golden goal that should have been deserved of a contract. But
it was a magical moment. It was a really good moment.
Yeah, I'm not taking anything away from the moment itself, but let's not forget it wasn't that in itself that kept Newcastle up. But I don't really know enough about the sort of situation to know whether he deserved a contract. Dare I say, if it wasn't for his illness, does that pull on people's heartstrings a bit more and make the sort of situation worse than it is? I don't know. We'll let the courts decide that one.
And finally, there's something Richard sent to me earlier today about Brexit. If Britain leaves the EU, we could have problems signing foreign players. Under current rules, we can't sign anyone outside the top 50 nations, and then there's like a sliding scale depending what nation they play for, but it's up to 75% of their international games in the past couple of years. I guess it could make a slight difference to the Premier League.
Terrible decision if we leave the EU.
Oh no, we won't be able to sign any more Moldovans or Slovakians. What will we do?
Well, that means Martin Skrtel wouldn't be able to join Liverpool.
Oh no! No Martin Skrtel, possibly the dirtiest player in the Premier League. It's a lot of hash over nothing. There's still plenty of African players, plenty of South American players, not a lot of Asian players, but let's face it, there's not that many good ones of them, playing in the Premier League, aren't there? So,
yeah, but how are we going to get
If they want to sign them, they'll still sign them. It's going to happen, come on. It's the Premier League.
But do you think if there's restrictions on signing foreign players, that would limit the appeal of the Premier League a bit, at least tarnish it a bit?
No, because otherwise we would have to say that applies to the current players getting signed from Africa, the current players getting signed from Brazil or Argentina, which it has made no impact on.
It has made some of an impact. There's certain players that like Arsenal have wanted. Is it Arsenal and Chelsea? There's been a couple of very decent young players that they've got that have not been able to play in England yet and have had to go out.
Yeah, and like I think that's fair enough. Because if you're a club like Arsenal or Chelsea and you're signing 16, 17, 18-year-olds, rather than bringing players through your own academy, deserve everything you bloody get. Your academy's there to develop players from your local area at the first point, which none of these clubs are doing, so maybe it'll actually make them have to develop their own young players. What a terrible thing that will be. They still won't have any problem signing the older players, the developed players, even the ones who are like 21, 18, 19. They won't have any problem signing these players. It's the 16-year-olds and the 15-year-olds that would go to Barca and then drift off to some Croatian team a few years later. That's the ones they're worried about. It's not going to make any difference. And if that is your reason for voting in or out in the EU election, damn. You need to get some priorities.
332 players in the top two tiers of England and Scotland wouldn't be allowed to play.
So guaranteed they would have got their work permits rejected? Or is it just that they're foreign?
Just says that they would fail to meet the current standards.
Yeah, but the current standards have been complete. The current standards don't really adhere to any strict rules, because there are some players who just shouldn't have got work permits that did. It's one of those things, people saying, oh, it's going to go this way, it's going to go that way. Well, we don't know until it's done. if we go out of the EU, and let's face it, it's the Premier League with all the power and shit that they've got, I just don't see it as being a problem. It's not going to be a problem. Let's be realistic.
I disagree with you, because it's the BBC that have looked into it, so I don't think they've I think they've had a bit of depth into what would happen. But they've said that only 23 out of 180 non-British EU players in the Championship would get work permits. So it's not just the Premiership that this is affecting.
Right, okay, but then worst case scenario, what they're maybe saying is that these players shouldn't have been good enough for this level anyway. If they're not getting work permits, it's saying that they're not good enough players to be playing at this level. Therefore, maybe this is an opportunity to start developing players.
Well, no, it's
of
because they're not international, so that's why they, obviously they're playing in the Championship rather than the Premiership.
I think this goes two ways. Either this isn't going to be a problem, or this is how we get more English players playing. And let's face it, we've been saying for years it's either going to have to be the clubs start making rules themselves, or legislation comes in. So. I mean, who would have thought
Brexit actually going to help you?
Who would have thought it would have come in the form of Nigel Farage being the saviour of English football? You just couldn't have seen that one coming, could you?
That's this week's title, I think.
Nigel Farage is the saviour of English football. All right, I'd like to move on there to the first round of the quiz. So, Nick Davey, over to you.
Good evening. Welcome to the main part of the show, which all the Davey Nation is listening into. Nah, I'm just joking. But now the hero's turned up, it actually makes it a lot easier, this quiz. It means I can do as planned. I've got two rounds and a final. So simply, the two winners will meet each other in the final. So the first semi-final is between... I'll let the host Anthony Kendrick decide who he would like to face out of Dan, Shane, or Richard.
I will face Richard, please.
Okay. Am I considered an easy target?
Yeah, it's based on a couple of our. It's based on a couple of our. Oh, can you just let me speak?
I said you.
It's based on a. Couple of our topics tonight. I'll go as it's hero, and hero's pretty dumb. I'll go for that was a joke. I'll go for England. Obviously, with the Euro 2016 looming, please can you name the starting 11 that England had against France in the first game of Euro 2012? So, hero or Anthony, one of you can go first. So it's like. It's a penalty shootout, like a classic son of the pitch. So there's 11 answers altogether. So, if Anthony or Hero, one of you would like to go first. I hope I've explained the question correctly.
You sort of explained it in a really awful way, but yeah.
Sorry, the first game of Euro 2012?
Yeah, but England's team against France.
Alright. Would you like to go first, Rich?
Yeah, go on. Lescott scored, so I'm guessing he played.
Yep, that's correct.
Well, I thought
1-0 hero.
I'm presuming John Terry was his partner.
It was indeed 1-1. Reminder, no Googling, as you're only cheating yourself and letting the whole of the V2 football podcast down, as well as your family down.
Letting your country Joe down.
Hart. Joe Hart's correct. 2-1 the hero.
Ashley Cole.
Oh, correct. He was my expected fact.
Yep, correct. 2-2. Hero, so.
Stevie Gerrard.
Correct. 3-2, hero.
Frank Lampard.
Incorrect.
Ooh.
Hero, a chance to win it, I believe. Nope. No. Yeah. Nope.
3-2,
right?
Yeah,
nope.
Brilliant. If he wasn't in midfield, then I'm guessing Milner was.
Yep, that's correct. 4-2 to a hero. Anthony, you need to get this to stay in the game.
Ding, ding.
I've only got 3 right.
No, you've got 4 right.
Yeah, you've got 4 right.
It's 4-2.
I've got 4. I said.
Yeah, you said.
Lescott, Hart. Oh, Gerrard and Milner, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. You're forgiven.
Glenn Johnson.
Correct. 4-3. If you get this, you do win, and you do win for sure this time.
I know Rooney wasn't playing.
You'll be in the final.
So I'm stuck between two players.
Who's dying?
Me.
Who am I going to pick?
Pick the first one.
Okay, Welbeck.
Correct.
Ooh, see?
5-3, here are you in the final.
It was between Welbeck and Walcott. I couldn't put it between them.
Congratulations to Hero, you booked your place in the Davy Nation final. Other answers you could have had were Scott Parker, had a fantastic season the year before, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain and Ashley Young.
Ooh, wouldn't have got any of them.
So I'll hand you back to your...
I wouldn't have said Young, certainly.
I'll hand you back to your host, Anthony Kendrick.
All right, well, seeing as the quiz was about England, we'll stick with England. It's mixed week for them. They beat Germany 3-2. And then
hooray!
All right, we'll stick with that. What did you guys make of that game and the performance that day?
Germany had a bad day.
Did England have a good day?
We showed great character.
England had a very good day. Germany had a very bad day.
I think any game you come back in 3-2 in, it's especially if you won 2-0 down... It's like the Southampton-Liverpool game. Liverpool were outstanding.
If that's
first
the European Championships, that result would not have happened.
Yeah, probably not.
I
thought England, it was a very good performance. It was a performance that showed what we can do when we don't really have any expectations and where our players are playing entirely on confidence, on things like that. It's not being too much tactical. It's more about taking the stuff we've come in from the Premier League season and just going with that. And I thought that we showed very well. Of course, next game we went back to our usual thing of overhyping and putting on too much pressure. But no, I thought the England-Germany game was a very good game to watch, definitely. I don't think Germany had a terrible game. I just think they completely dropped off in the second half.
There's a few players really not at the races, though, for Germany. Like Thomas Muller is one of the best players in the world, and he was awful for that game.
All right, Let's move on to the other game, then, the 2-1 loss against Holland. Personally, I didn't think we played that badly. I just thought we were sort of all right, but lost.
Yeah, what did you guys... the referee?
I think after the Holland result, it's almost, in a sense, what England needs, because if we'd have won on Tuesday, then the wave of optimism between now and June would just be stupid, really, wouldn't it? And we'd all be caught up and excited that England are going to win the European Championships, etc. So we've almost learnt more in losing than we would have had we won, but... We didn't obviously play as well as we did on the Saturday, and the referee didn't really do us many favours either, but it's grounded us, which I don't think is the worst thing in the world.
I disagree. I think it was, in terms of, you know, the expectations of Allah, I think it was a no-win situation, because we lose, and the consequent thing is, the Germany game was an exception, we're still crap, we're all rubbish, and if we won, it was hype train central.
I don't think Germany's an exception. I don't think, you know...
No, but that's the approach a lot of England fans take. I don't think there was a win situation in terms of de-escalating the hype train. I think all we did was just resumed our bitterness.
Let's face it, we're not going to win the Euros, let's face it. We're realistic. But we're going to do all right, I think. We've proven, I think, over the last two games, the last 180 minutes of football, that we're a good side, and I think we'll do okay. We won't do as bad as we did in the World Cup. But
when we get to the semi-finals, I think we could all sort of agree that is success.
I think we'll do well. We've got some fantastic players in the team, but I think he's just got to pick the team correctly, Roy Hodgson. I think that's the key. I think he's got to play the definites. He's got to play simply Eric Dier, Harry Kane, Dele Alli, and Jamie Vardy. They're the four absolute definites that are attacking players wise. Anyway, cementing their they've got to start all four of them.
Well,
not have Rooney then?
I'd actually play Rooney centre mid.
I would have him on the bench.
Can I just start and say, I presume you all agree that Rooney deserves to be on the plane, like in the squad?
Oh yeah, definitely. Oh,
cool.
Yeah,
but I would have him on the plane, definitely.
I would have him on the bench.
Milner's quasi. Yeah. Last night, given Milner the captain's armband, was confirming that. Yeah, your passport's you're definitely coming to France. You can get your passport out now. And put it by the front door, I just think, yeah, I think those four players that I mentioned, I think they're the absolute definites to start. But I think defending, he's still got decisions to make, because there was a few errors by a few defenders there.
Yeah, John Stones made a lot of errors.
I know that one. Yeah, I don't think he's ready to start yet in the big tournament.
I reckon it'd be Smalling and Cahill at centre back. I think Smalling and one other at the moment.
Well, I've never rated Cahill as an international quality.
Yeah, that's it.
He's got though.
Bit of a Jagielka's about him, hasn't he, Cahill?
Yeah, but he's crap for England.
No, I was saying Cahill's a bit like Jagielka. Very good for his club. He is. Not always being that good for his country. I will say this one thing, though. I think between those two games, one of the things that was highlighted was we were just overthinking things in the second game. The first game, it was all freedom to play, freedom to have good spirits, good morale. It was taking all the impetus we had. And the second game, we were overthinking everything. We were taking too long in every single pass because we were overthinking how we were going to play. And I think that shows when we go to the tournament, we need to have a bit more of that almost free spirit about going into our games. Because if we take the pressure off, we saw how well they can play against Germany. But when we ramped the pressure straight back up and started overthinking and questioning all our decisions, suddenly we weren't as good against the Dutch. And the Dutch have been shocking this year. Let's not forget.
I think with the Dutch, though, that they've got obviously no pressure on them. They're not going to the Euros. They're looking now. They've got rid of all the old guard out of the team. So they're in a complete rebuilding process.
Oh yeah, there's mitigating circumstances, definitely.
And there's a lot of young players that, like we've been saying with England, no pressure on them. They can bring in the form. That's now what's happening for the Dutch. You know, you've got all those young players like Proms coming through. You've got Jansen up front, who I think is going to be a future massive player.
Mm-hmm. But this is what I'm saying about why I think Rooney should be on the bench, because I'm talking about like having a freedom of being able to go on the pitch and express yourself. But the second Rooney's on the pitch, the whole thing becomes about Rooney. It's the hype train, it's the expectation, it's the instant bitterness because a lot of people don't like Rooney. It's the instant defence of Rooney because a lot of people really like Rooney. Suddenly it just becomes too much about the pressure being applied. And I think if you take Rooney out of the equation, especially if you maybe play him in the second game or something like that and you use him more as a rotational player, then I think you take a lot of the pressure off. And I think that's kind of what we need at the moment more than anything else.
I think that hype train for Rooney left the station about 7 years ago.
It never stops. It's every tournament.
Don't forget, Rooney's carried England for the last 6 years or so. So I think he's probably enjoying this pressure.
What's he carried us to?
Victories over
submarines. How many goals did he get in qualifiers?
Well, no, every year it's just if Rooney plays well, it's the poor bloke. Every year it's Rooney plays well, England play well. We have Varane and Rooney.
This is what I'm saying. I like Rooney.
People are quick to smear him, but he's international. Yeah, his goals in qualifiers speak for themselves, and
he's got 7 and 8 games in qualifiers.
This is what I'm saying. I like Rooney. I was there when he scored the record breaking goal. It was a fantastic atmosphere in the stadium. But the problem is, you put Rooney in, it's just like you said, Nick. The entire thing becomes about Rooney, and because it becomes about Rooney and about having that quality that he hasn't shown in tournaments, the pressure just goes instantly up, and it goes up on everyone else as well. And the team is no longer playing like one team; it's playing like 10 players plus Rooney. It changes the whole dynamic of the thing. And I'd much rather see us try and be a bit more expressive rather than end up being really rigid and overthinking everything, which is what I think we tend to do when we have Rooney in the squad.
Do you really think that one player makes such a big difference to the detriment of the rest of the team, though?
I think it can do. You look at the likes of Portugal with Ronaldo. You look at the likes of Sweden with Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Sometimes
Rooney's not like Ronaldo and Ibrahimovic. He's not.
No, but he's our version of that for those countries. You sometimes have those players who are technically a lot better than everyone else you have, but because of all the extra stuff they bring in, the baggage from the media, from all that sort of pressure and stuff, it can sometimes have a negative effect on other players. I'm not saying Rooney's a bad player. He is still probably technically our best player. But I just think at this point, considering we can take in a bunch of players in that first team who are going to be soaring so high from the seasons they've had, I would rather see them come into it and have the free spirit that we can get from that kind of mentality.
From what I've read about Rooney is that in the dressing room he's actually a very positive influence on all the other players.
I would believe that if it hadn't sort of all the evidence hadn't gone against that for every single England tournament since Rooney's been in the squad. I can believe he can be like that. Sure, definitely can. He's probably a lovely person. But, I mean, for England, at tournaments, it just hasn't worked. And I think we have a great opportunity to do the exact opposite thing to what we've been doing in the last few tournaments. Because we've never had this kind of potential to have so little pressure on the team, so little expectation, and a lot of young players, older players, all coming into it for the first time, all coming to it off of fantastic seasons with what Leicester and Tottenham are going to be having. And so I think we do have a real opportunity to do something just a little bit different.
See, I think with the previous tournaments, obviously there was the whole hype about Rooney. Well, I think a lot of the previous tournaments, that sort of dressing room letdown when he got onto the pitch was a lot more about sort of the old brigades from Chelsea, Liverpool and United that were very much in different camps against each other. Like Terry and Rio and Lampard and Gerrard and such. I think Rooney gets the stick for the generation before him, and it's not him.
Well, I wouldn't say that's not a factor. I think that definitely is a factor. I just think it will be a good opportunity to see at a tournament what we can do when we're not taking Rooney out of the equation, where we're just scaling back his involvement a little bit. Because I think every tournament Rooney plays in for England, it's all about how Rooney does. It's all about, does he reach the level we all thought he was going to? Does he reach that really top level? It's always just straight away about Rooney. And I think that just ramps up so much pressure. And I don't want to see that for the next England tournament, because we can have it so different.
You know, that pressure, though, will just straight away go on to Harry Kane instead.
It might do, but then again, it's the first time he'll have dealt with that kind of pressure, so you don't know how he'll react. Like I said, we've got an option to do things very differently, and that's, I'd just like to see us try that. Because we know what, I think we know what happened.
Even that's one failure, to be fair. Like, everyone was hoping Harry Kane wouldn't be a... Like, everyone was saying last year, oh, don't worry, Kane would just be a second-season flop, but he wasn't. But people, I think it's actually generally pissed a lot of people off.
I know, that irritates the living shit out of me.
Really, literally, I can't... The forum makes me want to... When I see comments on the forum, it makes me want to literally just throw my phone on the floor and just...
Like,
just,
I don't always like Rooney as an England player, but if I see him in the lineup, I want him to bang in a hat-trick.
Yeah, that's what we should all do. I literally hate a fucking... I hate it. Fair enough, I think it's like Jack Wilshere because he's just a villain. But yeah. like Rooney and everyone. You just want any, like, even, to be fair, like I just said with Wilshere, I don't like the Blake, but I went mental. I was delighted when he scored those two wonder goals against Slovenia, whoever team it was against.
Against Slovakia.
It really does just annoy me when people just want England players to fail. It's just, what's the fucking point? Go and take your passport and become a Spanish national.
A couple of other strikers who returned to the squad and both played this week, Welbeck and Sturridge. Do you think either of them have got a chance of making the squad?
I think they both will.
Depends on fitness.
If they both will, who are going to be the... How many strikers are England going to take?
Well, I can take five.
Kane, Vardy, Rooney, Sturridge, Welbeck. Is that not too many strikers?
And no Walcott.
Yeah, God,
no,
what is Walcott?
Yeah, he won't take Walcott, thank God. Yeah, and I think Rooney, I've got the feeling we could potentially see Rooney like coming on as a centre mid.
Also, let's not forget, Welbeck also plays wide.
We've got enough centre midfield now to not have to play Rooney there. I think, especially with, like, if you look at, say, someone like Danny Drinkwater is knocking on the door now. I think
he's quality.
We've stopped well enough in midfield to not have to worry about putting Wayne Rooney deeper.
Then again,
the lineup.
Couldn't we say the same about up front? I'd rather see Harry Kane start up front, and if we're going to play one striker, I'd rather it was Harry Kane.
Well, me too, but...
This is my whole point about maybe Rooney coming off the bench, or maybe playing the second game, you know, after the squad...
Yeah, I think that makes more sense than putting Wayne Rooney centre midfield, because that ultimately is just a square peg in a round hole, isn't it?
Yeah.
At least with Rooney, he can be an impact sub, you know, with half hour to go, depending on the situation of the game.
I just want to highlight... Everything we've been having in this debate proves what I was saying. Every single tournament ends up being about Rooney. Rooney didn't play in the last two games, and we're talking more about Rooney than the other players. Every single thing, if it ends up being a tournament with England, becomes about Rooney, and it just ramps it all up. So I think even this conversation is proving that.
Alright, let's move on to goalkeepers then. Hart might not make the Euros. Hart should make it. Butland definitely won't. Who would you have as our keepers to take?
Forster and Heaton
probably.
Yeah, same thing.
The three that we've already got, because I can't see who's left. Maybe Ben Foster, but Hodgson doesn't tend to sort of favour him, and I'm stuck for an option after that. So probably what we saw over the weekend will be what goes to France.
Yeah, the only difference I think will be is if we go for a young option instead of Heaton and go for someone like Pickford.
If Fraser Forster ends up being in goal, do you think that'll be a big detriment
to David Stockdown.
He should make it, but if he doesn't, do you think Forster would be a problem? Or?
No, I think Forster's a very solid keeper. He's not the best when it comes to crosses into the box. That's the stuff where he's surprisingly weak on, considering how tall he is. I really rate Joe Hart. I think he is a better keeper than Fraser Forster, and that pains me to say as a Southampton fan. But I think in terms of the goalkeeper, he can either boost your whole team or it's not going to make too much difference. And I think with Forster, it's not going to make too much difference. I think they'll be confident enough of having him in the back sticks, and it won't be like you don't have Joe Hart driving the whole team on, but you'll still have confidence in your goalkeeper.
Joe Hart might even be City's number two next season, by the look of it.
Who would they sign?
Yeah, Ter Stegen from Barcelona has been linked with him today, hasn't he?
Yeah.
That'd be ludicrous.
Hart's better than Ter Stegen. Ter Stegen, maybe in 5 years' time, might be a better goalkeeper.
I hope Hart just sticks his fingers up and just goes to a better club.
Yeah, Jesus, that's a terrible thing.
All right, Nick, I think it's time for the second round of the quiz. So,
second round, it'll be between Anthony Kendrick and Dan Tracy.
Is it really?
Didn't Anthony go out in the first round?
Anthony's already played.
Oh, sorry. I do apologise. I'm sorry. I've done an Ollie Murs cock up then. It'll be between Shane Lees and Dan Tracy. And this one is about a conversation topic which I suspect we'll talk about when I finish this quiz. It's about Aston Villa. We're going to be slating Villa probably in the next topic. I thought I'd remind Villa fans of a happier time when they went to Wembley. I think it was 2011. They lost to Man United in the Capital One, or whatever it's called, in the Carling Cup final. Lost 2-1. Like the first round between Hero and Anthony, can you name me the starting 11 on that day? Whatever one of you wants to go first.
Wait, who's it? It's me v Dan, right?
Yeah, you v Dan. Where one of you wants to go first?
You want me to go first? Brad Friedel would have to have been in goal.
He was indeed, 1-0.
I'll go for Gabriel Agbon Lahore.
That's correct. Reminder, no cheating, as you're only cheating yourselves, then your family, friends.
See, I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to remember when Aston Villa lost all their good players, because I know they had the likes of like Downing and Young and Milner, but I can't remember if they had left by that point. So I'm going to go Downing.
Correct. 2-1.
I'll go for Martin Larsson.
Martin who?
Martin Larsson, centre back.
Never even heard of him, and that's not correct.
Fabian Delph.
Nope.
Oh fuck.
How many questions have we had?
Two.
He's had three. I'm stepping up to my third one now.
No, it's right. I've had two.
Two one.
No, I've had three.
2-1, Shane, Dan's third go.
Yeah. Okay, I'll go for Gareth Barry.
No. Shane's going.
Heskey.
Correct.
Yeah, okay, go on, right, good.
You need to get this to stay in the game, Dan.
Ashley Young.
Correct. Shane, you get this right, you've won. And you'll be in the final.
I can't think of any more players. No, who did I say earlier? Who was the one Milner?
That's correct. He hasn't been said yet, has he?
No, I think I said I was going to say him. Milner?
Yep. Yep, Milner's correct.
Yes.
That's it then, isn't it?
Who are the other ones?
It'll be a final between Shane and Hero.
Who are the other players?
You could have Richard Dunn.
Richard Dunn. That's really obvious.
Carlos Queller.
That's not.
Stephen Warnock. James Collins. Stuart Downing, you said. Ashley Young was said. Stylian Petrov. And then Agbon Lahore and Heskey, you were both said as well. So.
A vintage Aston Villa team, I'm sure you agree.
Oh, very good.
How didn't any of us get done?
I could tell you where they all are now. Brad Friedel retired. Richard Dunn scored own goals somewhere. Carlos Queller, no idea. Stephen Warnock, Derby. I think he's on loan at Wigan, actually.
Derby anymore.
James Collins, West Ham. Stuart Downing, Middlesbrough. Ashley Young, United. Milner, Liverpool. Petrov obviously retired through health. Gabby Abong, Lahore, Villa Steel, and Heskey Bolton. So, yeah, it's not. If you put that on paper now, it probably wouldn't be that great. Obviously, some of them are retired. But.
Could do a better job than the current Villa side.
Well, of course it could. I think Milner alone could probably do a job. right, okay, I'll hand you back to Anthony Kendrick.
All right, so the big news, Remy Gard has been sacked by Villa. Do we think he ever had any chance there with no investment in January, which he seems to have been promised?
I feel really sorry for him because he's actually, his record in France isn't too bad at all. And he hasn't really had the chance to prove himself in this, because I think you could have given Villa bloody Mourinho, and they'd have still done crap, or anyone good for that matter, or Fergie. You could have got Fergie out of retirement, and he probably wouldn't have had to do well with that Villa team. It's just like the whole club's just a nightmare, really. Well, and I think there's talk of Moyes coming. Why would Moyes want that?
Oh, I understand that.
I reckon the best appointment would probably be Nigel Pearson. I can't even see him wanting the job to us. I think it's going to end up being like Tony Black or someone there.
They're going to struggle with the Championship.
Yes.
They're definitely going to struggle. I reckon they might, like we've seen Fulham. With Championship, you need to get players who are going to fight your ass off for 46 games a season. They don't have that at all in their team. Mm.
And there's not going to be a lot of people wanting to buy those players, are there? So they can raise money to go and sign those players. We're not going to have that. And Lerner won't be able to sell the club. And he won't put any more money in. So where the hell are they going to get money to go out and buy these players who are going to do it for 46 years? One thing that really has annoyed me, though, I will say this now, is there's a lot of people have been saying, oh, they spent £50 million in the summer. Sure, but they also sold all the best players at Villa from out under his feet and replaced them with players who were not even near Premier League calibre. So you can spend as much money as you want. If you're getting rid of good players and signing worse players, it's a bad strategy.
I reckon it was always going to be the impossible job, though, wasn't it? Whoever took that from Tim Sherwood, it was on Harding to nothing, really. I suppose you have to ask yourself, at what point does it end being Remy Gard's fault, and at what point does it start being the player's fault? You could, you know, where do you sort of draw the line?
It's all of them. It's all of them.
Best record ever in the Premier League with two wins, 6 draws, 12 defeats. Behind Steve Wigley and I forget the other guy.
Terry Connor never won a game as Wolves manager, did he? So
I think it was a minimum 15 games to count.
Okay.
But yeah, a terrible.
Who do they beat?
Palace.
And Norwich. You've almost got to say that Norwich and Palace deserve to go down for that. To be fair, they've both got a pretty good chance of going down. So it would be quite
ironic.
That's the word I'm looking for. Yeah, well, it would be very correct if Palace and Norwich did go down. Obviously, Palace for different reasons, but it would be correct if they did go down, because I think if you lose to Villa, you've really got to question yourselves.
I think it's just everyone's
fault.
Sorry, Shane.
I think that the fact there was no ball support in January in terms of buying any players was almost like the death knell for Remy Gard. I read somewhere today that Gard come up with a list of players saying, you know, I want these people to come to the club, and the powers of be above said didn't even go for any of the players. So he's almost had both hands tied behind his back, really. What can you do in that situation?
I've got a quote here. The Villa fans group, who say that Remy Gard was hung out to dry by Mr. Lerner. Whatever promises have been made to the manager, whatever token efforts were made, he was a sacrificial lamb. Not zero investment, and that Randy Lerner's had long enough at the club. And that they're basically furious with what's going on.
Yeah, I can understand that, but I think, you know, we're saying whose fault is it? It's Remy Gard's fault for not being a good enough manager to motivate the players he's got. I know they're probably not good enough to stay in the league, but they're better than 2 wins in the season. It's the board's fault for doing nothing to actually save that club, which is their entire job. And it's the players' fault for not giving a flying shit about a proud, historical club with proud, faithful fans who go and watch that team week in, week out. It's all of their faults. It's just a clusterfuck.
All right, well, where do Villa go from here, then? What's the future?
League One or Two.
Yeah. Now, that's a club that's just going to tumble down. It's going to be like Notts County. They're going to tumble down the divisions.
We sort of mentioned the next manager, maybe Nigel Pearson or David Moyes, are the two big names linked. But then
aren't they just the same names that were linked with Newcastle? It's just lazy journalism.
They're more likely to get someone like Paul Ince. Seriously.
Do you think he'd be
it might be Paul Ince, because apparently he's black, so he can't get a job.
Does that
he always says it.
That's why you're Yorkin.
Okay, no, we're just naming. No, I think they're just going to go. They're the club that's nailed on to go down next year, simply because they aren't going to get the investment. They're not going to be able to sell those players. They're not going to be able to get them out on the contracts. So where the hell are they going to get the players that are going to fight for them in the championship? They're not. The players aren't going to have any enthusiasm to play in it. They're just going to play down their contracts at this point. So you're going to get stuck with a bunch of players on massively high wages, and you're not going to be able to get a good manager in for that club, because they're all going to see that problem a mile off, and they're not going to trust the board's promises in advance now that what will happen with Gard. I just think it's almost like Fulham got very close to doing it. I said they were going to do it. They got very close to going down. I think Villa have it so much worse than what Fulham had when they went down. I think they're really nailed on to do a Coventry, a Notts County, one of those clubs, just keep going down. And not really.
You don't have a Michael Jackson statue outside the ground, though.
Not many clubs do.
Okay, I think on that note, we should move on to the final round of our quiz, sponsored by the Davy Nation.
Yep, so step forward the two winners, which are Hero and Shane. Right, I'd just like to shout out before I do this thing. This is thanks to Chris Lapp for this question. It's a very good one, one that I think Hero's going to really struggle on, and to be fair, Shane, it's a very tough one. Okay, good. All these players were once conned as football's next big thing, but where are they playing now? Okay, I'm going to name a player and you need to tell me where they're playing now.
I've been playing Football Manager a lot lately, so come on, I hope this comes in good.
It's that might help you actually. So it's players who were dubbed as next big thing, but where are they playing now? So they're obviously gone from playing at a good club, not, and in no disrespect to who you're going to answer, but someone who's not so good. I think we'll start off with Shane, because Hero's not going to get the first one.
Cheers.
So, Shane, Chris Kirkland.
Oh, fuck. I swear he's playing in, like, India.
Made the penalty on his Liverpool debut, if I remember correctly. But where is he? Where is he playing now?
I swear he's like in India or something. No, he's not. Where is it? New Delhi Rovers or whatever the hell they might be called.
Incorrect. He actually plays for Preston North End, and I saw him wearing an old man's hat when he was playing in goal the other day.
Who am I confusing him with? Who's the guy
Imran
who got into
Khan?
Like, who's the guy who got into loads of debt? Michael Chopra, that's who I was thinking of.
David James.
He's not even a goalkeeper, he's a striker.
I know.
Hero, Freddie Adu.
I know that one.
Linked with Man United several times, tore the MLS apart, but where's he playing now?
He's back in America, isn't he?
But which club?
It's going to be, I don't know. The Miami Cougars or whatever.
I know this one. This is so annoying.
Incorrect. Tampa Bay Rowdies.
I wish. Why did I get Chris fucking Kirkland?
Shane, Giovanni Dos Santos, obviously.
LA Galaxy.
That is correct.
Yep. I've got a Mexican team on FIFA. Yeah. No, that shit all day.
Javier Saviola.
I was playing with him on FIFA yesterday.
Never heard of him.
I remember him.
He was at Real Madrid at one point, I think.
And Barcelona.
Yeah.
I presume he's back in Argentina. Because he'll be old now, won't he? So, Buenos Aires?
Incorrect. River Plate. Oh, River Plate, however you say it. Jonathan Woodgate, Shane.
Oh, I swear he's at Middlesbrough.
Had a famous debut for Real Madrid.
Yeah. I'm going to go Middlesbrough. That's my first instinct.
Correct. 2-0, Shane.
Ho-ho. That's my Nottingham Forest Football Manager career coming in good.
I think, Hero, you need to get this question right, don't you?
Yeah.
And it is a former Man United player, Cleverson.
Not a clue.
I think I might know this one. No, I don't.
Fluminense.
Is he at somewhere like Egypt?
Fort Lauderdale Strikers.
Fort Lauderdale.
Of course he is.
American lower divisions, wow.
So Shane is one. However, the other two players were Matt Janssen, the former Blackburn striker.
Matt Janssen?
Yeah.
Is he in Australia?
He plays for, I've got written down here, Chorley Town.
Huh.
Oh, that's...
And former Liverpool player Ryan Babel.
The Babelcopter, wasn't it? I think he's at a decent club, isn't he?
He's back in Holland.
No, he's like Al Ali or Al...
Yeah, Al Ain in the United Arab Emirates. And I did have a few bonus ones. It's players who are currently out on loan. It's Danny Pacheco, who's on loan from Real Betis at Deportivo Alves, and James Vaughan, who's
Huddersfield,
on loan from Huddersfield at Birmingham City.
Ah.
Yeah. So congratulations to Shane. He's the winner of the quiz sponsored by the Davy Nation.
Yay.
And back to your host, Anthony Kendrick.
Tell you what, that was easy. I've been saying for ages I'm a Mexico supporter in secret, and you hand me Giovanni Dos Santos. Doddle.
Oh, it's like...
You gave me somebody that plays at Fort Lauderdale.
Next player's at Area 51.
That was a great quiz, though, to be fair. That final round was really good.
That was good.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I liked it.
I enjoyed it, and I hope our listeners did.
Blame Chris for that.
Okay, just the final thing I want to move on to, probably the biggest news story of the week. Gary Neville's been sacked by Valencia. They're currently 14th in the league. I guess probably the right decision. Or do you guys disagree?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah. I don't think they could afford to see the slide down the table go any further. I know it was a stopgap till the end of the season because he was doing a favour for Peter Lim, but obviously 14th and only, what, 3 wins since he's taken over? It's almost Remy Gard-like, isn't it? So I think, in fairness, it is the right decision.
It's the right decision, it's just harsh.
What's the best relationship with Lim?
Probably not well. I think that's a good guess. It's the right decision. It's just it's 4 months. You never have an opportunity to do anything in 4 months as a manager. And let's face it, a manager like Gary Neville, you bring him in for 5 years, or you don't bring him in at all because he's got to learn the language. He's got to bring in his own players. It's harsh, but at the same time, there really wasn't anything else for it. So it's one of those things they had to stick with, despite the fact it was going bad, or cut all ties early.
Has Phil Neville gone as well?
Is he still there?
Well, he was appointed before, though, wasn't he? Because he was Nuno Espirito Santo's assistant, and then Gary Neville came in to fill that void.
Can you say that name again?
Nuno Espirito Santo.
I swear that's like a Catholic prayer. No?
Nuno Espirito.
Yeah, Nuno's. What a name.
Well, they did a bit better in the Cups, though, until in the Copa del Rey, until they met Barcelona and got battered by them, and then they were unlucky in the Europa League, going out on away goals in the round of 16.
I guess
there is nothing else they could have done. They probably wouldn't get relegated, but I guess
it was
probably a shame they didn't wait till the end of the season.
It was probably a poor decision by Gary Neville in the first place to take that job on, because Valencia is a massive club. It may not be, you know, the best club in Spain, or it may not even be a top five club in Spain anymore. But in terms of what the fans expect, in terms of how all-inclusive you're going to get with a club like Valencia, in terms of the press, in terms of all that, for your first job, especially coming in with all the hype you've got because of what you've done in, like, your punditry years, I think that was a bit of a misjudgment there from Gary Neville. I think I said it at the start, I didn't see it going well. I think a few people thought it was going to go well. I just thought, how is an Englishman going to come into a club where it's going as poorly as it is with Valencia? How is he going to come in and have a good time straight away? He isn't. And the Spanish fans are relentless. They're worse than the English fans in terms of trying to get a manager out quicker So, yeah, it was always onto a hiding, I think.
That's going to be a really damaging season for Valencia as well, because this is the club that sort of relies on Champions League money from year to year.
Mm.
And to now finish 14th and not get those funds in, they're going to probably have to have a fire sale in the summer to balance the books. I mean, they're still looking to build their new stadium, which has been in a work in progress for 10 years. So I think a costly move getting Gary Neville in by the looks of it.
On paper, they've got a really good side there. They've got lots of good players who could go for decent fees.
Yeah, but a lot of them, though, are loaned in through like an agreement with the super agent. What is it? Is it Jorge Mendes? So a lot of them will leave regardless in the summer. So the squad will get stripped out one way or another. So, like I say, it's going to be a real damaging campaign, this one.
Just talking about Gary Neville then, what next for him? Is he still, he's probably going to be the England coach at the Euros. Can we see him going back on Monday Night Football on Sky? Or
I'd like to see him stick at management and maybe try something in the Championship or League One. Try and do it at a club where it's not going to be instant pressure straight away, fans hounding at you the second you get it slightly wrong. A club where he's going to have time to put his message across, actually develop himself as a manager, because he really threw himself straight in at the deep end and started drowning quickly before he had to be pulled away from it. So I'd like to see him give a club like maybe Forest could be a good idea, because it's a club where it's got a lot of potential to build on, but there's not too many expectations straight off the bat. Or a club like Blackburn, someone like that, where they can really build on if he gets it right, and it's not going to be too disastrous if he gets it wrong.
Forrest, the chairman's very sack happy though, isn't he? So I don't think he'd get time at Forrest either, to be honest.
Well, he can't exactly get blamed if it goes wrong. That's what I was thinking with those clubs. If it goes wrong, suddenly he's not a joke. Leeds probably wouldn't go particularly.
Not with his Man United links. He wouldn't be welcome to Leeds, would he?
As much as I'd like to see him on, you know, Monday Night Football again, I'd like to see a very promising English manager try and build it up from the bottom. I mean, I know Championship or League One's not the bottom exactly, but a bit like the Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank route, where you don't jump in straight at the top, because I think, especially if it goes wrong, you can have your career destroyed so quickly because of all of a sudden, he could say all this on Monday Night Football, but he couldn't do it in practice. Everyone's just waiting to have a go. It's like the Rooney thing. It's like the Kane thing, what we were saying earlier. Everyone's just waiting to have a go. And he gave him the excuse by taking a chance of something he really wasn't fit for. So I think he maybe needs to take a step back in it and try again at a smaller club.
Yeah, I agree.
That's just one final thing I want to mention. Sticking with La Liga, it's El Clasico this Saturday night, Madrid against Barcelona.
Brilliant.
Do you think Madrid have got any chance or not? Well, both in this game and then winning the league.
No.
Well, Barcelona are going to turn them over.
Yeah, I mean, this El Clasico doesn't really have the same sort of needle as previous ones due to the gap in the table, really. Usually they're sort of fighting out within, 2 to 3 points, and it's a winner takes all. And even if Real Madrid were to win on Saturday, you still can't see him winning the league. So it sort of hasn't quite got the same level of hype as it would usually have, but I can't see anything other than a Barcelona win myself.
I'd bet more on Atletico than Real Madrid if they were having that game.
Atletico are 9 off. Barcelona with Real Madrid a point behind, Atletico's with 10 behind. So,
and you've got to factor in the head-to-head as well. So with Barcelona beating Real Madrid 4-0, that's almost an extra point in itself, isn't it? So Real Madrid are going to have to win 5-0 just to sort of get that back. So obviously that's not going to happen. Well, it might, but I can't see it. But I think Real Madrid, they'd be wiser to put all their eggs into the Champions League basket now. I think the La Liga campaign's all done and dusted, really, isn't it?
So it's going to be a big summer for Real Madrid, because they're only going to have that transfer window to make changes, and they're going to need a lot of changes in that team come this summer, because I can't see Ronaldo being there after the summer.
It's going to be a bloody hectic summer transfer window, because a lot of clubs are in a sort of similar position, so it's going to be a lot of competition for the best players. So Real Madrid, I think, is one of those summer windows where it's either going to go really, really well or an absolute disaster.
Well, it's shit or bust for them this summer.
Can we see Zidane being there next year?
I don't think he'll last 2 years.
But then who'd replace him if not Zidane?
Well, I think he'll stay. He's only lost one game in the league, isn't he? I mean, if he can win the Champions League, that's a massive boost in keeping him there. As for who could replace him, they've burnt all their bridges, really, Real Madrid, haven't they? I couldn't think of a top-level coach who's available. Dare I say, would they go back to Jose Mourinho? I doubt it, so... You're sort of really struggling for someone to take over.
I don't think it goes through Real Madrid's head when they're sacking the manager who we're going to bring in. I think they just sort of go, oh, the Real Madrid fans are booing Ronaldo and Bale again for not scoring a hat-trick in this game. Oh, we better cut ties quickly. I think they're very trigger-happy. I can't see him lasting 2 years because Real Madrid's appetite is just voracious. And it's above what they are capable of at the moment in La Liga. Because I think that Barcelona squad is just so far ahead of them.
Real Madrid fans are the biggest fucktards on the planet.
This has been a very sweary episode this week.
They are, though, aren't they? Seriously.
It's they are colossal fucktards. There's no question.
Well, on that note, I think we're done. Unless there's anything else anyone else wants to mention?
Yeah, sorry, Madrid fans. Please keep listening to the V2 Football podcast.
cheer your fans a bit. Cheer your players a bit.
You can catch the next edition of the V272 show, fantastic edition, on a Monday. Sadly, we're not going to be joined by the fantastic host that is Anthony Kendrick. He's away for whatever reason. I don't know why he's away, actually.
I'm up for sales in the morning, look.
But we've got a suitable replacement in Shane Lees.
Super sub.
So, indeed. Yeah, no. So please tune into that. We're hoping to announce the guest over the weekend. We're not sure who it's going to be, but give it a listen. It's a fantastic show.
Really enjoy it. This week we have Barry Hales on the show, and there's the quiz between Nick and Matty Roper. Good night from me, and good night from everyone else.
Good night.